Blog Talk Radio.
Your normally scheduled broadcast has now been canceled. Please stand by for this important announcement. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Brilliant Ideas Radio presents Grills Gone Wild, hosted by your two favorite bad boys of Foodie Radio. And now, here are your hosts, hailing from parts unknown, it's the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his trusty sidekick, also hailing from parts unknown, he just may be the great Canadian Sasquatch, it's Crispy! The studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good evening, everyone out there in Radio Land, Blog Talk Radio. This is Brilliant Ideas. This is Grills Gone Wild. We welcome you to another wild evening here on the radio on late Friday night. And I am actually broadcasting tonight from Las Vegas, Nevada. I attended the Sake Fever tonight and had a great time. Met a lot of great people, and I'll fill you in tomorrow. We're going to have our show tomorrow. We're going to be talking a little bit about some, and actually having some of the people that I met on the show tonight at Sake Fever. And if you like sake, this was the place to be tonight. And it looks like my trusty sidekick, Mr. Krispy Kreme, he ain't coming on tonight. He's either fell asleep in Florida or forgotten about the show. And as they say, and the big show biz, the show must go on. I do like to welcome everybody here to the show. Tonight we have a great guest. Matter of fact, we're very honored to have such a guest on the show. We're going to have Junie Fisher on our show today. And those who don't know who Junie Fisher is, Junie Fisher is the WMA 2011 Entertainer of the Year, Female Performer of the Year, and she also had Song of the Year, and I'm going to be bringing her on here shortly to play some of her music, let her tell you a little bit about herself and the background and how she got into music. But before we go to our guest, of course, I have to try to make a little money here on the show, so we're going to switch over for a brief moment to one of our sponsors, High Roller Vodka is what I like to call it, but it's High Roller Spirits. It's a sweet potato vodka. They have become a sponsor for our show for the last, it's our fourth week now, and we like to thank them for sponsoring our show. And if you guys have never had High Roller Vodka and their sweet potato vodka, it's something you need to try out, and I'll punch the buttons here, and we'll have a little ad for them. We'll come back and talk to Junie.
High Roller Vodka is the world's first and only premium vodka made from sweet potatoes. In 2011, High Roller Vodka won the Double Gold San Francisco World Spirits Competition. High Roller Vodka is made with carefully selected California-grown sweet potatoes distilled by hand in a process which creates a sophisticated, unique, elegant, smooth vodka. Life's a gamble. Your vodka shouldn't be. For more information, check out www.highrollerspirits.com.
Yes, definitely check out High Roller Spirits. Go to their website. You've got to try out this award-winning vodka. If you've never had it, you're missing out. It's nothing like sweet potatoes and vodka. And as I mentioned earlier, we'd like to welcome our guest. She's coming on our show. We appreciate her taking time, especially when it's so late out there in Central Standard Time. And Junie, if I'm working everything right here tonight, hopefully you're on the line here with us. Good evening. How are you?
I am on the line.
Hey, it worked.
Yay. I'm fabulous.
We really appreciate you coming on our show. My sidekick who's usually here, and we usually banter back and forth with a guest. I guess he fell asleep. He's in Florida, so I got to give him a little slack because it's midnight there, and what's it, 11 o'clock where you are? So
oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, but you know what? The guy probably is out partying. Who the heck knows? But we do appreciate.
And he's old. Gosh, he's what, 27?
Something like that. I actually think he's like 40, so he might
oh,
be in bed.
Oh wow, gosh.
Well, we do really appreciate you coming on the show. I know I've been bugging you to come on, and we appreciate you taking time.
Yeah, I'm glad you got in touch with me.
It's really nice you decided to come on. And matter of fact, I guess this is vacation time for you, right?
Yeah, I've been home for March, but gosh, an opportunity to talk to bad boys on the radio late at night. Are you kidding? I'm so there.
You've lived for this moment, right?
I am. Oh, breathless anticipation.
Well, we do thank you for coming on. And I don't know, the people who may be listening, I have to admit, I wasn't real familiar with your music.
Well, that's okay. I didn't know who you were either.
So I guess, hey, we're even. But I have to admit, I never was, you know, I've never listened to Western music before, and I got on your site and started listening to music, and I do really love it. I mean, it reminds me when I was a kid. I mean, it takes me back to the days of, I guess, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. I can remember that, and it's just great stuff.
Well, thanks. You know, I feel real lucky that I get to do something that I like to do, and you know, if you see my live shows, I'm kind of on the edgy side of the market, and I'm happy to be there. And my prelude to any show is if you've come thinking that you might get offended, I'm going to tell you right now, you will be. So go ahead and leave now.
But you're kind of like the bad girls of the Western music.
Well, I'm not a bad girl, but I'm a little edgy, and I tell, and I say this with love because Ian Tyson is a friend of mine. But I say I'm like Ian Tyson, but not cranky.
Yeah,
I'm a little edgy, and you know, I'm liable to, in the middle of a show, you know, turn around and pick up a ukulele and sing the blues with my ukulele.
Hey.
You know, I'm as like, you know, and God cut off my head and hide it from me should I ever sing a Dale Evans song or I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. It'll never happen.
It'll never happen. Well, for those who may be for the first time hearing you or for the 10th or 100th time hearing you, I'm going to play songs. I really like the song Horse Like You.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to play that first, and we'll come back and chat. You can tell us a little bit about how you got into Western music and et cetera. So for those listening, this is Junie Fisher and her song Horse Like You.
You never mention when I haven't combed my hair, and if I'm not wearing makeup, you don't care. It doesn't matter one iota to ya when my lipstick is askew. I'm lucky to have a horse like you. When I say let's go for a ride, you go along, and I'm singing while I ride. You like my song. You got shoulders I can lean on. You're a pal who pulls me through. I'm mighty lucky to have a horse like you. I'll admit I've had some horses I've traded, shipped, and sold, but you're the one and only horse I'll ride till I get old. ¶¶ us home. If everybody had a horse that was their friend, all the strife and trouble in this world would end. When I get to heaven, let me have a pasture view, 'cause if it's heaven, I'll have a horse like you. I'm mighty lucky to have a horse like you.
Oh yeah, that was Junie Fisher.
Yeah.
A horse like you. No, it's more like yeehaw. So how did you get into Western music, and how long ago when did you start?
Well, you know, I've been in Nashville for some 20 years, but I grew up on the West Coast, and so Western music was kind of part of my growing up. My dad was a big fan of traditional Western music and used to sing us little cowboy songs, you know, the little tragic ones where the kid goes over the cliff on his horse in the middle of the lightning storm and dies, and we loved that one, yeah. And I grew up on those, and I came to Nashville, and I was working on getting a writer's deal, but I was secretly writing these kind of cool, edgy, you know, Western-themed songs. And one night I was on a show with a guy named Boomer Castleman, and Boomer used to be part of a duet called the Lewis and Clark Expedition, and he was also a writer for the Monkees television show.
Oh.
And he worked with a, at that time, unknown guy named Michael Martin Murphy. So
okay.
back then, this was in the late 90s, Murphy was helping to run the Warner Western label.
Okay.
And so Boomer turned and looked at me in the middle of a show, and I whipped out one of these songs and done it. And he said, "What the hell did that come from?" Because he was used to me doing the country pitch songs, you know. And so anyway, I said, oh, I kind of write these in secret. He goes, well, do another one. And I did another one. And so at the end of the show, he said, gee whiz, you know, let's put together a demo of six or so of those. And I got a pitch to do for that. Well, what we didn't know at the time was that Warner Western was about to fold here in Nashville. So they just ignored it. But I was encouraged enough by the response I was getting that some other friends talked me into doing an album, and I borrowed the money to make the first mm-hmm. album, and I had no idea what I was going to do with it. Had no idea. I mean, I was so naive. Even though I'd been around the music business for a long time, I'd been playing music since I was 10 years old. I'd never done an album, and, you know, what do you do with it? And if you're not touring, you know, what are you going to do with it? But I did it, and things just kept happening that would be just happenstance things, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I was at a show, and somebody from WSM was there, and they said, oh, we have this midnight show that's after the Opry. We've got to have you come on and do this show. You know, what you're doing is so cool. And so I'd go on the show at midnight, and we would stay there all night, and the things that we said when the recording light was off or when the on-air light was off, it was like, oh, my God, we'd get this DJ fired. But we just, it was just outrageous fun. We had so much fun doing that, but still had no idea what to do with it. But a couple years later, a festival director got a pirated copy of that first album, and he called me from Monterey, California. He said, hey, I run this Monterey Cowboy Poetry and Music Festival, and we've got so-and-so and so-and-so and, you know, and Dave Stamey and Tom Russell on the schedule and Ian Tyson on the schedule for this next year, and I have one spot left. Can you do this live? Mm-hmm. And I go, well, yeah, I can do it live. And he said, well, I'm hiring you sight unseen. I'm going to, because I played your CD for Dave Stamey, and he said, you better hire that one. And anyway, I got the gig, and it was like, I didn't know at that time that it was like everybody in the business wants to get that festival, and most of them never get a chance to play it. And here it was, I had not even been in the business, in the Western music business yet, and already I was playing Monterey. And then, so because of that, it just gave me an opening, and I started getting the good festivals, and I started figuring out how to book myself. And thought, well, okay, and I had another album about halfway done. Had, again, still no idea what I was going to do with it. I was still thinking, I'm going to pitch this to a folk label, that maybe folk is the way I can go. But when I go to folk, they go, this is a little too Western for folk, so you might try Americana. And I go to Americana, and they go, oh, it's really too folk for Americana. And I was too folk for Western. I didn't have any idea what to do with me. But I just made my own niche. I just said, okay, I don't care what everybody else is doing. They go, oh, and I'd have people that go, oh, you've got to learn, you know, this song by Patsy Montana, and you need this deal. And I go, no, I don't. I don't need those songs. I'm a good writer. I'll write my own, and I'll figure this out. And so I just sort of made my own, my own category, and it worked.
So you were actually cutting your own trail. I mean, that's what you do in hard.
I did. I kind of cut my own trail, and you know, there's not that there aren't other women. There certainly are other women in the Western music business that were ahead of me, that were, you know, going out and blazing trails and doing things, but. I've sort of blazed a different path than any of the rest of them. Not that there haven't been some that have done pretty well, but I sort of blazed a different path. And, you know, the guys that were at the top of the game would turn and they'd say, okay, now we could have this one or this one or this one, or we could have Junie. And they go, oh, put Junie on the show with me. So, you know, I got in that niche where they weren't hiring me as the novelty female act. They were hiring me among my peers.
Well, now I was a kid. I grew up, and you can explain this to me. When I was a kid, I grew up on country music. So my dad used to listen to Porter Wagoner, and he used to call it. Well, now is that considered Western music or country music?
Well, they called it country and Western music, and it was really a category that was written for the Grammys: country, comma, and Western music.
Okay.
So, you know, country music was Porter Wagoner, Jack Green, Roy Acuff was doing a version of old-time country music. And then there was Tex Ritter, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, and they were and Sons of the Pioneers and those kind of bands, and they were doing Western music. So they put them in with country music, and they called it country and Western music.
Okay.
Then they started calling country music country Western.
Right, I remember it was called country western.
Yeah,
when I was
so that's really where that came from, and really the things were always separate. But you know, the bottom line is it's music, and music is music. And you know what I do is probably in some ways closer to folk. It's really not very country influence. It's closer to folk because mine is a storytelling kind of music for the most part. The song we just played is more of a little swing tune, but my typical thing is more of a storytelling.
More storytelling, like for example, most of them are about horses, and most of them like the one let her go, let her buck, let her fly.
Yeah, kind of a and the stuff that I sent you is from my album Let Her Go, Let Her Buck, Let Her Fly, which was about the Pendleton Roundup, which is a big rodeo in Pendleton, Oregon, and they did their centennial in 2010, and so I wrote the album for it. They hired me to come and play during the about 3 years before the thing. They hired me and they said, "Do you have time to write a song for us?" I said, "Song? I'm an opportunistic top feeder. There will be a whole album."
Well, guess what? My sidekick from Florida must have woke up.
He was the one that was sleeping on the guest list there.
good evening, or I guess it's good morning, Mr. Crispy. Are you there, or are we waking you?
Hello, I'm Crispy Cash.
Oh, you certainly are. My goodness, you sound nice and crisp.
Yes, I apologize. I was taking a beauty nap because sometimes, you know, it's really difficult being this devilishly handsome, you know.
But, you know, and then down at the Krispy Kreme, they were just all over you.
And if he's taking a beauty nap, then we better let him go back to sleep because he's got a lot more sleeping to do. But welcome to the show, Christy. We're sitting here, so you can catch up. I don't know where you came in at, but we have Judith on the phone with us, and we're talking about Western music, and I could just see you sitting back with a cowboy hat right now drinking a cold one. Is that what you're doing in Florida?
Yes, I have my cowboy hat on, and yes, I do. And I'm drinking a cold Dr. soda. We won't mention the name because they're not a sponsor.
Oh, they're not? Well, they should be because that is the drink of champions.
They should be. I actually listened to your music, and it's pretty awesome. I really like
it.
Yeah,
well, you're just sucking up because
cool.
You're on the phone.
Well, yeah, someone's got to.
Well, I'm gonna. Speaking of songs, and that song we mentioned, "Let Her Go, Let Her Buck, Let Her Ride," I'm gonna play that next, since that's the actual name of your album. Before I do, too, those people that are listening or sleeping on the chat room or listening to the show, if you'd like to call in, the one woke up. Okay.
Yeah.
If you'd like to call Junie, you can call in at our number 714-242-5272. We do have usually shy listeners, so they're either sleeping
or drinking or something. They could type in a little question, or you know, I'll answer reasonable questions. But keep in mind, you know, I'm not 18, so I'm not 4, so.
All right, we'll go to your song, "Let Her Go, Let Her Buck, Let Her Ride," and we'll come back and we'll chat some more. So hang tight, everybody. Here's Junie Fisher.
As soon as she's paid up her entry, let her in, wish her luck, let her buy. Bound and determined to ride what they draw her, let her go, let her buck, let her fly. She hands them her saddle, they snap the bronc closer, the blindfold pulled over his eyes. She pulls up her cinch, dodging stirrup and hoof. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. She's riding as soon as her foot hits the stirrup. Let her up, let her on, let her try. She hears herself saying, okay, let me have him. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. That bronco's a sailing and jabbing the ground. He's a snake, he's a cat, and he's fly. Her spurs are singing that Pendleton song. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. Bronc leaves her fan in the sky. She'll be back tomorrow, black-eyed and grinning. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. That good Hamley saddle is why. She'll come to the roundup till hell freezes over. Let her go, let her buck, let her fly. Let her go.
Was Junie Fisher, "Let Her Go, Let Her Buck, Let Her Ride, Fly." You know, that song actually kind of has an sound to it. It's like something you hear on
very Celtic, very Celtic. Yeah,
very Celtic.
You know, I have very strong Celtic influences in a lot of my stuff I do, and I'm part Irish myself, and that particular album, a couple of the musicians I use have a band that plays around Nashville or played around Nashville at that time. That played Celtic music, and also one of the guys also plays with the great group from the station in the Time Jumpers.
Okay.
And it is a great Western swing band, and he is one of those multi-instrumental, multi-talented guys, but plays great Celtic music. And when I have something Celtic, I would just turn to those guys and go, okay, here's the riff, and I'm turning you loose. And just let them do what they do.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not
going
to tell them what to do. Just turn them loose.
I kind of picture leprechauns riding around little ponies.
Well,
right,
yes,
there, so.
Of course. Yeah.
So you saw me in my Halloween outfit, didn't you, G.I.? Interesting.
So tell us about the WMA. You won the 2011. Let me see. Now get them all straight here. You got the Entertainer of the Year, the Female Performer of the Year, and the Song of the Year. And you also, I guess, the True West Magazine Best Solo Western Music.
Oh,
you
did
Disney,
yeah,
in 2011.
Yeah. You know, it's cool to get those things. But the cool part is that I get to do this for a living.
Right.
I mean, it's cool. It is very cool to win awards, and I am very, very humbled, and I am grateful for people that vote, and it is great. And you know, I got to be the first person to first female to be Entertainer of the Year. It hadn't ever happened before, and I'm delighted about that. And same with the True West Magazine thing. And then a couple years ago, I won a Wrangler Award at the National Cowboy Museum in Oklahoma City for most outstanding Western recording. And I was the first woman to win one of those as well. And, you know, it just, I didn't do it as a feminist thing. I did it because I was doing music and I just happened to win and I was, happened to be female. But I'm glad to be the first, and I hope that it inspires other women that think that, they have to take a sort of a secondary spot to the guys. I hope that it inspires them and they think, oh, wait, I don't, because we don't.
Right.
But you'd have to be good. You have to be as good as them or better.
Well, now tell us, when I first spoke to you via email back and forth, you said you were on vacation and you were going fishing. You said trout fishing?
Yeah, my husband and I both avid fly fishermen, and
okay.
So I was headed home from Arizona, and he was coming down from, I guess he came from home here. So, but anyway, we met up in Arkansas. It's about an 8-hour drive west for him, and I was headed east. So I swung up into Arkansas and met up with him. We had about 4 days and fished on the Little Red and the North Fork of the White River. And stayed in my RV that I tour in, and we had that's kind of what we do. Is if he has some time and he can fly out and meet me, I'll say, okay, well, during this week I've got, you know, a show on Thursday, but then I'm open, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'm open Friday and Saturday, and so he'll fly out and we'll meet and we'll, you know, maybe he might go to one show with me every 2 years.
Oh, really?
Other than that, yeah, he doesn't ever see me perform. I mean, maybe once every, you know, year or 2 years he'll pop in for a show. But usually he'll come in when I've got a break, and then we just go fish for a while, and then I get done with him and I put him back on a plane, send him back home, and go on and go back to work.
Well, I guess, was the fishing good? Did you catch any?
Yeah, it was good. It was really tough on the Little Red. It was really, really tough. It was the toughest fishing I've ever had on the Little Red, and then but we got over on the North Fork, and it was a little better over there. And then I'm trying to think where we were the last day. Finally, it redeemed itself, and I'm trying to think. Well, we must have been back on the North Fork. Anyway, we finally had one pretty good day of fishing, but it was tough fishing. I mean, it was
that's what they say. Was a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work or vice versa?
That's right. That's darn right.
Well, you know,
that's the best part. Is it? You know, it's just great to be there, and you know, great to spend the time together. So.
In fact, I haven't told Crispy yet. I think he missed the intro. I'm in Vegas, Crispy, and I was at the Saki Fever show, and I was out fishing for women for you, and I found a few, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.
That's super.
Yeah,
thank
nice.
You.
Maybe he
nice.
Can scale them for you.
Oh, nice.
Now, this is supposed to be a cook. This is supposed to be a cooking show, so we have to ask the question: are you a cook, a barbecuer, or do you do anything like that, or do you travel around with a chef, or how's that go?
Yeah, I have a chef who travels on the bus with me.
Okay.
He rides beside the driver. No.
I know how to skin
a rattlesnake. Well, yeah. But does it mean I have to?
And for a bus driver, I understand Crispy's got his bus license, right, Crispy?
Sure. Yes.
Well, what do you got planned for the upcoming year? I know you said you would take some time off, but what's
the
big plan for 2012?
I'm going to go back out around the 1st of April, and I just recorded a new album that is entirely different than anything anybody. I'm not letting anybody know. I mean, only the engineer and the players on the album know what's on the album. And nobody else knows. Well, Ian Tyson knows, but he's forgotten what I told him. So.
Well, you're not switching to, like, punk rock or something, are you?
Yeah, no, actually, totally, yeah, yeah.
Punk rock,
western. No, actually, I did an album of some old songs. I did some blues. I did some blues, and I did some stuff that I had to write a warning label for the album, for the credits.
Uh-oh.
You know, if you've come to be offended, you will be. But the blissfully naive and the young will go blissfully in the dark with it. So it'll go over their heads. So.
Well, I'm going to play a couple more of your songs, and I know it's late out there. And what I told you was I'm going to try to get you so you can go to bed around 11:30, 11:35. But I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
The two songs I'm going to play. Is one of them's called Yakima.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one's called Ambler Saddle. Can you give
a
little background? Give
yeah,
background about this
Yakima
song?
is about Yakima Canutt, whose real name was Enos Edward Canutt, and he was from actually Colfax, Washington, but he had some friends from Yakima, and they put him down, you know, he would enter rodeos under his name. He would put Eddie C. Or
right.
Eddie Canutt on his entries because he didn't think Enos was a good name for a bronc rider. But then somebody asked one time, "Oh, who is that kid?" And the photographer said, "Oh, that's that Canutt kid. He's from up there near Yakima."
Okay.
And the announcer wrote down Canutt, comma Yakima. This was in about 1914 or 15 that he got the moniker, and wrote that down. And then he said, "Hey, coming up next, Yakima Canutt," and. And Enos heard that. He goes, "Wow, it's a great name for a bronc rider." And he kept it. Well, the reason people know the name Yakima Canutt is that he was John Wayne's sidekick and stuntman and stand-in and co-star in many, many movies. In the early John Wayne movies, Yakima was always his sidekick because he could speak Indian. He would say, "Me think those bad men, boss." And he wasn't Indian at all. He was German and Irish.
Interesting. That's a wild piece of information.
German and Scottish. So he was a great bronc rider, and then went on. You know, he could fall off on purpose and get paid more. So. So he went on to be a stuntman and had a great career. So it's really about his early career as a bronc rider and his first marriage to a little wildcat named Kitty Wilkes. 4'10",
right.
Mean as a snake.
And then the other one's pretty self-explanatory, the Ambler Saddle.
Yeah.
The word that tells the whole story.
Yeah, that's by Ian Tyson. And Ian wrote it in response to somebody telling him the whole story. He had already written a song about Jerry Ambler, who was a Canadian bronc rider from Alberta back in the 40s and 50s. And Jerry was killed in a car accident, and his saddle went missing. And it showed up a couple years later in a pawn shop, and another guy got a hold of it, and he realized it was Jerry's saddle, and he was also a bronc rider, or trying to be a bronc rider, and he wrote it, but it didn't help him any. But he did give it to another guy who it did help, and it changed his career, and he won 3 world championships. So the saddle ended up in the Rodeo Hall of Fame, and that's where it is now. So Ian wrote it from the viewpoint of the saddle making its rounds.
it's a really interesting. I listened to the words. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah,
I think it's
one of his
go.
Best works.
Because I know I promised to have you in bed by
11:35. Oh, no, I'm listening in, so I'm right here.
But I'll ask you, if you don't mind hanging around, we've actually got a phone call.
No, I'm
call,
here,
so
yeah,
someone
absolutely.
Wants to ask a question before we play your song. I'll put them, patch them in, let them ask a question. Hang on 1 second. Let's see. Brilliant Ideas Radio, you're on the air. Who's calling?
This is Rick Sun from Visalia, California. How are you this evening?
Well, it's Cousin Rick.
Yes, it is.
Good evening, Rick.
You know, one of my things is I've always, you know, this kind of music doesn't seem to get out as much as I think it should.
I agree.
Out in the mainstream and such, you know. And one thing I wanted to ask Junie is, how do you handle writer's block? When you really want to write a song, but you're stuck, you can't get anything going, and also, how do you handle the stress of traveling and performing when you just don't feel like going on at times?
Writer's block. First question. How I just don't write for a while.
About, you know. Always something I've always thought about, and I said, man, I don't know if I could do that or not.
Well, I you know, really, there will be times when I might not write something for a while, and I write actually fairly well under pressure, and that comes from having lived in Nashville and having worked, you know, in a publisher's office where he would say, oh, I've got an appointment for you to write with so-and-so, and do you guys think you can, oh, yeah, and we've got 2 hours. Oh, yeah, we can look something up. And I could sit down with someone and write under pressure. And so if I have a project that I really need to write, I can buckle down and write. But I must say I'd probably do my best work when I'm not thinking about it. But yeah, I get blocked because I get thinking about other things, and I've got to be the bus, I've got to be the driver, and I've got to be the booker, and and the guitar tech, and the sound technician sometimes, and you know, get in somewhere to rebuild the sound system.
Plus, you got to skin those rattlesnakes too.
And skin rattlesnakes, change oil, and cook. So,
that sounds like a song right there, skin rattlesnakes.
So, yeah, you know, there's times, there might be stretches where I might not write anything for months, you know, even 6 months at a time, and I just don't have anything new on the docket. But once I have something that I need to write for, I'll buckle down and write. And there have been times it's like, ooh, gosh, I've got to get in and I got to start recording this new album, you know, in 3 weeks, and I don't have all the songs I want yet. And I was like, oh, okay, well, let's buckle down. And then, oh, yeah, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, oh, yeah, I wrote the 6 more I needed.
Well, you just came out of
the
recording
studio.
Very
often, but sometimes it does. You know, sometimes it does. And then the other thing was about how do I handle the stress.
Yeah,
sometimes you just can't get
that voice to go, that voice to work in sometimes. I mean,
well,
you know.
Just do it, and I'm pretty good at taking care of my voice. I mean, I really guard my hearing. That's the biggest thing, is I guard my hearing like a jealous hussy. You know, I don't listen to loud stuff, and if I go to a concert and the music is really loud, I have a pair of earplugs in my pocket. If I go to any concert, and I just pop them in, because I really, the biggest thing for any performer, especially as you start to age, is that your hearing, you've got to protect your hearing so that you can hear, because when you hear performers that are getting off pitch, it's because they can't hear anymore. It's not because their voice isn't there. The voice is there. They just can't hear anymore. And so I really guard my hearing, and I take good care of my voice. I don't have any I don't have any vices,
right.
except vintage guitars,
that's a good one.
Spurs. But I don't have any, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I do take pretty good care of myself. And if I feel like something might be coming on, you know, if I'm around people that are sick, I get away from them.
Right. Yeah. Well,
just take care of myself.
I have one vice, and that's drinking Maverick's Roasting Company coffee.
Oh, well, that's a good coffee to drink, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
I'm having a cup right now listening to the show.
Exactly. They do the best coffee blends. Absolutely. Great company. But,
well,
yeah, I take pretty good care of myself. And, you know, there's times when you just have to go on and do a show, and here's what I do. You know, it's like I don't have a band to deal with, so if I want to drop it a couple of keys, I just do.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I don't have
I know
to sing the songs that are like, ooh, how am I going to get there? I just don't do them. I can sing something else, or I can sing around them, you know. And there's ways to sing around problems and just don't force it. And, you know.
Well, thank you for calling. I hate to cut you short, but they got my computer's looking at me. It's going to go off and going to cut us off. So thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for calling. Yeah, this thing, when it starts going off, it'll cut you off right in the middle of conversations. But we do appreciate you coming on and late tonight and talking with us and sharing your music. And I'll let you go and get some sleep over there out there.
Well,
I guess it's almost midnight. Thank you so much
for having me.
Oh, thank you. We really do appreciate it. And good luck in your travels in 2012. And take a few extra time to go fishing too with your husband.
Oh, absolutely. And you guys, be careful with those wild girls from Las Vegas.
We will.
Yes.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was Junie Fisher. And I didn't mention her website, but you can go to juniefisher.com and you can see her music and pick up her music there. We do appreciate her taking time to be on our show tonight. And Crispy, I hate this when I have to hurry up, but the computer's going to cut me off. Did you have any fine things there? Just wait till I tell you tomorrow what I found out for you.
I looked some of her stuff up at work on lunch, and she's very talented. And I do agree with Cousin Rick that this music should be out more in the mainstream.
Yes, it definitely should. And I'm going to play another one of her songs, actually two of her songs as we close out. We'll be playing Yakima, which is a story she told about Yakima, and also The Ambler Saddle. We appreciate everybody tuning in tonight, and do check out Junie Fisher's music on her website. Tomorrow, real quickly, we have a lineup. It's unbelievable. Like, starts at 8:30 tomorrow morning. We've got information from Bubbalicious in Las Vegas and Saki Fever, and I got some things to tell Crispy about that. And also, we've got Jeff Franco coming on, and we've got Aaron English, the singer, coming on. And then my favorite topic, the Oakdale Testicle Festival. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. So everybody tune in, and everybody have a nice evening, and join us tomorrow morning and hear some more of Junie Fisher's music. Everybody have a nice night.
Horses' tails that morning, dragged his evil fingers through their manes, and the riders in the pens, they got no warning, they'd all be drawing zeros by their names, they'd all be drawing zeros by their names. A rancher's kid from Colfax had entered, swapped his wife's gold tooth to get the dough, and he looked like herring baling wire and splitters when they got him on the bronc and let him go. 'cause he could ride. Whoa, he could ride. That day spurred the devil right out of that horse's hide. Whoa, he could ride. Oh, he could ride, ride, ride. By God, that Yakima could ride. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Well, he went to find his gap-toothed little honey, and they swaggered through the crowd to get his pay. They smelled like beer and sweat and folding money when they saddled up and went out on their way. When they saddled up and went out on their way. Then Yak, he bought a diamond from the pawn man, had it mounted in the tooth and paid the loan. Put that diamond studded tooth back in that gal's hand. He said, "Kitty, that's for interest. Let's go home." 'Cause he could ride. Oh, he could ride. That day spurred the devil right out of that horse's hide. Oh, he could ride. Oh, he could ride, ride, ride. By God, that Yakima could ride. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, Kitty was a wild one. She could drink and she could brawl. Lucky for old Yak, she didn't shoot too good. And Yak kept riding wrong till he nearly rode them all. Then he split the sheets with Kitty, and he went to Hollywood, where he could ride, oh, he could ride. Yakima Canuck could ride the devil off a horse's hide. Oh, he could ride. Oh, he could ride, ride, ride. By God, that Yakima could ride. Down $73, a lot of money at the time, carried me far away to the rodeo. A bronc riding son of a gun with wild and wondrous times, from New York City lights to old Cheyenne. He won the title in 46. He always picked up the tab. Such was the measure of the little Alberta man.
Then Jerry got killed on the highway, and I was lost and found and lost again. Jim Houston rescued me, made me a gift to his friend Cody Bill, and the whole damn thing started all over again. Jerry was tall, Cody Bill was tall, I packed them both the same. The rank and the salty one got rode. Bill won 3 gold buckles, the admiration of all, before he waved his last goodbye to the endless road. On display in the Hall of Fame, I'm rawhide, wood, and leather. And some might say I look like a dead buffalo. I rode the west before the interstate with Jerry and Cody Bill. Ah, here's to the sunny slopes of long ago. Mm-hmm.